You may be seated. Still in shock that Haley let me do that. I sat alone in one of the pews at the back of the sanctuary during service one Sunday morning. I was a senior in high school and was about to graduate and head off to college. And while it was normal for me to be at New Fountain for church that Sunday, it was not normal for me to be sitting alone, much less in the back of the sanctuary, as that was not our family's typical location. The worship service started, and things seemed to be flowing beautifully. The announcement time came, and our pastor stood up and announced that he had something to say. Pastor Charlie walked up to the pulpit and said, "One of our seniors is going to be called into the ministry. I don't know who, and I don't know when, but they will be called. The Lord has told me to share this today." I was the only one of three of our seniors in church on Newfound that Sunday. And I immediately felt like it may be a nudging from the Holy Spirit. God, is it me you're calling into ministry? You see, my dream since second grade had been to attend Texas A&M University. Can I get a whoop? And as a graduating high school senior, I was quickly headed off to College Station, but the thought of pursuing a call to ministry was not a part of my plan. During the fall semester of my sophomore year, I was invited to attend an Emmaus walk as a pilgrim. And throughout those 4 days of learning more about God and growing and deepening in my relationship with Him, those words from Pastor Charlie kept replaying over and over and over in my mind. But I was still hesitant about a call to ministry. The next year, I served on the inside team for my community Emmaus walk and met another woman who is discerning her call to ministry as well. We shared our stories and agreed to become prayer partners together in this new journey. A couple years later, I graduated from Texas A&M with a degree in bioenvironmental sciences and tried to enter the workforce, but was not hired into a position with my degree field. I was hired as a nanny for a while, but knew that God was not calling me to be that forever. God, where will I go from here? I spoke to the newly appointed pastor at New Fountain at the time, Pastor Joyce, about my thoughts on discerning a call to ministry. And after listening to my story, she agreed that I truly was called to ordained ministry. I was still somewhat hesitant and unsure about pretty much everything. So she suggested that I go to a candidacy summit to help me decide whether I thought I was truly being called or not. And then she invited me to preach. And it was then that I accepted my call to ordained ministry after I got more information about it, although they never prepare you enough. And then preach. Soon after, I applied to 4 seminaries and was accepted to all 4 of them without the GPA to get into any of them. I wasn't sure why God couldn't open just one door instead of all 4 of them. I narrowed my choices for schools down to 2 and then felt God leading me to attend Duke Divinity School. I stepped out in faith and accepted their offer sight unseen. I never toured the campus or even looked online to see any pictures other than their logo. Had no idea where I would live when I got there and was still wondering how I would even travel to get there in the first place. I cried out to God for help. God, is it really me you're calling into ministry? God, where will I go from here? God, how will I get there? Are you really sure it's me you're calling? God, are you even listening to me? For the last 14 years, this is what my laments have sounded like. These are the questions that have weighed upon my heart and soul as I cried out to God to hear. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 77, verses 1 and 2 and 11 through 20. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty work. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depth. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherd. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The psalmist cried out for help just like we do and like many of the great names that are mentioned in the Bible. Job is a man of God, blameless and upright, whose staggering losses and long and painful illnesses brought him to a point where he said, "My days come to an end without hope. My eye will never again see anything good." Moses is described as the meekest man on earth and rises as one of the greatest examples of an ordinary man who simply submitted himself to God. He led the Hebrew people and was the administrator of God's law. And amidst all that responsibility, there came a time when he felt the crushing weight of everything around him. And at last he cried out, "How can I bear the troubles, burdens, and disputes of these people by myself?" Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of old, asked for his life to be taken. And Jeremiah was so profoundly sad that he's known as the weeping prophet and confessed that he wished he had never been born. The biblical examples are numerous and continue even further. The company of the lamenting is a very noble company. And whether we admit it or not, all of us have been numbered among them at some point in our lives, certainly for us in the last month. What makes this psalm so vital for so many people across so many generations is the permission-giving example that they have provided in encouraging the faithful to say what is on one's heart in the presence of God, even when one is not certain that God is even listening. The psalm demonstrates for us that we do not have to clean up our act or even our language before daring to bear our souls to God. All of our lips have spoken the words of discouragement and depression. All of our hearts have felt it as we lament something that touches our heart and soul. Every one of us has known at one time or another the slap of setback, the grief of loss, or the disheartening effect. To be human is to feel that numbing, exhausting, demotivating fog of despair. In our human extremity or illness or grief, anger or disappointment, what we need is not a cheering up from a pep talk or brushing off of emotions. After all, David said, "We'll slap you. We will." We don't need the typical cliches like stop the pity party, or you just need to have more faith, or it might be time to put your big kid britches on. We don't need this because it typically pushes us deeper into the hole of sadness and discouragement, and it teaches us, quite honestly, that it's okay to fake happiness. What we do need, however, is someone that we trust to lend an ear to our lament. We need someone to actively listen when we share what is on our heart. And y'all, spoiler alert, but that someone that we need is God. And he's been right there with us the entire time. Our laments and what we have to say matters to God. In fact, God wants us to be completely honest when we cry out to him and yell to him. When we cry out, there's an expectation that God is listening, that God hears us in our lament. Psalm 34, verse 18, even promises us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. We know that we can trust God to hear us when we speak freely about whatever is ailing our heart. Verses 11 through 13 of Psalm 77 that I just read say, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty work. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you?" It's from this that we see the psalmist take the moment to look in the rearview mirror at God's past blessings. God performs miracles and displays power among his people. He has redeemed his people time and time again. Creation responds to God as the waters writhed and convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. The lightning lit up the world, and the earth trembled and quaked. God led his people like a flock through the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And it is by taking time to look back at God's faithfulness and provisions along the way that our strength in God and our faith is strengthened for the future. Our weary hearts are conditioned with a steadfast hope for tomorrow. In times of despair, as humans, it's normal for us to retreat to memories. Sometimes we dwell on the past and painful things that we have endured, but most often we reminisce on times where life was, or at least appeared, full and meaningful, when we thought God was really present with us. Not only do we need God to lament to, but we need our community as well. When we place our memories in a larger moral framework than our own, when we call upon the communal memory, the faith community, our hope is slowly restored. Sometimes we literally cannot make it on our own, and you need to borrow the faith of those around you. Calling on community allows us to be in fellowship and in relationship with others, and we are able to more clearly remember God's divine works and wonders amid all the mystery, the holiness, and the hope. When I look back on my call story and I get to share it with others, I'm reminded of all the times that I lamented and cried out to God along the way. I'm reminded that it's perfectly okay to be angry or disappointed, to grieve or to cry, and to bear my soul to God. It's okay because God wants that relationship with me. He wants to hear me cry out to him. And although I'm reminded of these things, I'm even more so reminded of the ways in which God has worked divine wonders throughout my ministry journey so far. Before I even knew or accepted my calling to ministry, God has been leading and guiding me through this journey the entire time. God has surrounded me with family, with friends, with church family, and church relationships that helped build my foundation, that loved me, that sustained me, and prayed for me. God has allowed the Holy Spirit to continue to nudge me, even when I ran the other way because I wasn't ready yet. God placed female pastors in my life as mentors and as example to show me what I could be and more. God opened not one door, but all four doors to seminary and gave me the privilege of choosing where to get my degree while still continuing to provide for me as I stepped out into the unknown. God journeyed with me through my clinical education program as I discerned where God was leading me to be, whether it was in a clinical, pastoral, education, clinic, hospital setting, or in a local church. God sustained me while I pastored through all the mountains and valleys that I endured while in Divine. And now God has led me to you. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5, say this. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. God called Abram to go on a journey where the destination was uncertain, and because he faithfully went, God blessed him so that he and his family could become a blessing to generation after generation to come. I often wonder if Abram was afraid to take that first step, but did it anyway. I wonder if he knew the impact his family would have on generations and generations and generations to come after that because of him obeying God in that very moment. My call story was a new beginning that could only come from God, because y'all, I can't make that up. Journeying to Kerrville was similar to Abram's story in that it was also a new beginning. While Kerrville itself isn't unfamiliar territory for me, the idea of being a youth pastor or a pastor for young adults is unfamiliar territory. The movement from small church to big church and not having an order of worship is certainly unfamiliar for me. I have a cheat sheet, y'all. It's okay. In many ways, moving to Kerrville has been a new beginning, but the experience has been different than what was expected. While it began with a warm welcome and handshakes and hugs and smiling faces and an excitement to lean into learning new things and growing together in ministry, it also began with crying out to God for help during the rising of water, during the loss of life, and during an unfathomable amount of grief that has spread throughout our community. I've tried wrapping my mind around all the devastation and loss. I've cried out to God, why me? Why pick me to move here just days before a natural disaster? What do I have to offer this community during this time of great loss? I'm not sure I've found the answer yet, but I know that lamenting has helped me move through my emotions and my thoughts and my grief. And I know that leaning on one another and on God during this time is the best thing that we can do for each other. God offered a blessing to Abram on his new journey, and today I'd like to offer a blessing for us. So if you feel comfortable to do so, I invite you to close your eyes where you are as I read. This blessing is written by Jan Richardson, and it is entitled, Stay. I know how your mind rushes ahead, trying to fathom what could follow this. What will you do? Where will you go? How will you live? You will want to outrun the grief. You will want to keep turning toward the horizon, watching for what was lost to come back, to return to you and never leave again. For now, hear me when I say all you need to do is to still yourself, is to turn toward one another, is to stay. Wait and see what comes to fill the gaping hole in your chest. Wait with your hands open to receive what could never come except to what is empty and hollow. You cannot know it now, cannot even imagine what lies ahead, but I tell you the day is coming when breath will fill your lungs as it never has before. And with your own ears, you will hear words coming to you new and startling. You will dream dreams and you will see the world ablaze with blessing. Wait for it. Still yourself. Stay. Amen. Together, we have journeyed into the unknown. We've been called to journey together to be blessed so that we can then be a blessing to our community. So today, I encourage you to stay. To stay in the place where your conversations are filled with lament and honesty as we cry out to God. Stay in the place where we encounter grief and hope simultaneously. Stay in this moment of new beginning, in this place where the Holy Spirit comes to rest on us, even amidst all the chaos. Stay in this moment of journeying together. I want to pray with you. Almighty God, you are with us. Your Holy Spirit is present within us and within our heart, leading and guiding us to be your hands and feet. Lord, sometimes we need to be reminded to be still, to sit, to bask in your presence, to stay. Stay right there to have a conversation with you, whether it's a silent conversation with tears rolling down our eyes or a yelling match about why we're so angry and lost within our grief. God, today we talk about new beginning. We've entered into a new month of August and we're getting ready to celebrate communion. What a beautiful day it is to embrace a new beginning, to fill you afresh within our hearts, to be reminded that we are meant to journey together. God, we thank you for being with us through the grief, through the turmoil, through all the love, the honesty, the joy, the times that we smile and the times that we cry together, through all the chaos that is our life. Holy Spirit, come, continue to be with us as we journey together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.